This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host and the executive director of the Human-Animal Connection. I am so excited to speak to Dr. Deva Khalsa. She is not only a veterinarian, but she is a holistic veterinarian. She has over 30 years of wellness practices, acupuncture, homeopathy. So she brings the best of both worlds. And I know we're going to answer some questions that a lot of our listeners have about allergies and the animals they share their lives with. This is a question that confounds many people, and many veterinarians are kind of throwing up their hands. They don't know what to do next. So I know you've got some wonderful solutions. Now, Dr. Khalsa has written several books, including this one. You can see all my notes in it. Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog, and it's all about holistic therapies and nutrition for healthier animals. So Dr. Khalsa, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. We're going to have a good time. And we're going to also, your listeners are really going to learn quite a lot.
Because yeah, I know.
Are running the hamster wheel of allergies. It's constant. You know, they're checking dog food. They're worrying about this. They're taking all these tests, and a lot of them are bogus. And then they're avoiding foods that don't make any difference and feeding foods that aren't correct. And it's not about food. It's really about the immune system. And we're going to learn a lot. So where shall I start?
Let's start with the immune system. Explain how the immune system and allergies work together.
Perfect. The immune system is a computer. So when you get your polio shot when you're a kid, you're good for life because your immune system remembers that it's an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your immune system logs in friends and enemies, and it does it in a way that is very concrete, and it's very, very, how can I say, set up not to make mistakes, right? When you get vaccinations that have adjuvants, which are aluminum and foods and different things in them, it causes the body to start to become more reactive to foods and different things. And it starts almost a computer program, like a corrupted computer program in the pet's body. And that corrupted computer program, if there's only a few things, you're not going to see anything. But if there's enough, you're going to start to see the symptoms of allergies in your dog. And typically they present as GI problems, which they can't tolerate foods. They have lots of different forms of GI distress, and also itching and scratching their skin. Mm-hmm. So what's happening, you know, with this immune system? Why is this happening, and why is it working this way? And we have so many generations of dogs in which allergies are present that everyone gets used to it, and they think it's normal, and they run the hamster wheel checking everything out, the food, the this, the that, running to the vet all the time for secondary yeast infections, secondary bacterial infections. And then what happens is they just get so used to it, it becomes their entire life. I mean, their entire life, taking anything that's problematic out of the house, you know, it's a whole thing. So
yeah.
What's the real problem? The real problem is the computer program that the immune system is logged in, where it's certain things were enemies and certain things were friends. Make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Pharmaceutical companies don't make money if they are going to cure something. They won't make money. You have to have refills. So what they do, because the immune system is misbehaving in allergies, is whack-a-mole the immune system. They knock it down and make it non-functional. And then you have to keep giving the medicine and giving the medicine. And with generations of dogs having these problems, it's gotten so that more and more dogs have allergies. I have a book called The Allergic Pet, Ending the Epidemic of Pet Allergies. And that's my most recent book. And the thing is that you're just making the problem worse, because then the babies get very allergic. Let's say you're showing dogs and you're going to breed them, and you can't have that hot spot right before they're going to get titled. You give them an aggressive allergy drug. If they get a little bit of allergies, then you take them, you know, then you breed them, and then you sell the puppies. It's a downward spiral that we're on, and it has to stop. And it's actually very easy to treat.
Okay. Now, you've been in this field for quite a long time. Is the situation getting better or worse, would you say, overall?
Oh, way worse. When I was actually, I'd been a veterinarian for 43 years.
Okay. Yeah. So I think you've seen things get a lot worse. I mean, I think if we go back to, say, our grandparents' dogs, and we were not seeing this kind we didn't see this kind of itching and digestive disorders and all of this kind of stuff. So clearly the situation is getting a lot worse. So what are some of the things that you tell your clients to start doing?
Well, actually, I find out what the immune system is reacting incorrectly to. I make them up a program, and on the level of physics, I correct it. So this is going to get a little esoteric, but let me just explain something so that people can sort of have a feel for how it all works. We have mast cells around our eyes, and they produce histamine. And that histamine is very, very itchy and makes us scratch, makes us itch, causes inflammation. So with ragweed, you know, we rub our eyes get puffy, our eyes get hot. Dogs have those same mast cells and 10 times the concentration on their bodies. If we were set up like dogs and we had ragweed allergies, we'd be scratching our décolletage bloody, we'd be chewing our arms, we'd be scratching our butts, you see? Mm-hmm. That's what dogs do. And then they have a scratch-itch cycle, which is the mosquito bite. I call it the mosquito bite syndrome. Your mother says, if you keep scratching that mosquito bite, you're only going to scratch more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the dog starts chewing and then it chews more and it chews more. But because the area is warm and moist, secondary bacterial infections, yeast infections, a yeast called Malassezia can take play, and it becomes a never-ending cycle of antibiotics and immunosuppressants. And a lot of people are very familiar with that. And the pharmaceutical companies are coming up with what they consider better and better immunosuppressants, and I consider them far more dangerous. So what we simply is an immune system computer. And this computer is logged in improperly. So let's say that you have a laptop. And you bought it. It's 10 years old, 5 years old. It's not working right. Little wheel keeps going and going and going. You're going, maybe I need a new one. And you hire someone to come into your house who knows computers better than you. And what they do is they take out the corrupted programs. And that's what an allergy is.
Mm-hmm.
Got the viruses that are in the immune, in the computer. I'm not talking about people viruses or dog viruses. I'm talking about a program that a virus, they're making things work. They throw it in the trash. They clean out your cookies, clean out your cache, and suddenly your computer's working great. And that's what I do with allergy elimination for pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that was used on humans for many, many years. And I originally learned it as a human technique, which was called NAET. I learned it 40 years ago. It was done all over the world, all over, very successfully. I'll give you an example. There was someone in my practice who treated people, and one woman was so allergic to bees that she had to have an epinephrine shot that was so huge that would stop her heart. So they would roll the paddles in. So there she was, ready, you know, bit by a bee at the hospital. They knew her because, you know, people who are allergic to cats or bees are always drawn to them. And bit by a bee more than most. And they had everything ready because they knew they would have to shock her heart back into you know, functioning. And she was treated for bees, not by me, but by a human practitioner. A few times, but she was so allergic. And she got bit by a bee and sat in front of the emergency room for 5 hours and nothing happened. It really, truly works.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an amazing thing. And I've been doing it for 30 or 40 years. And there's actually a reason for this, which moves to the level of physics and moves off of the level of biology, which is where medicine is going now.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's so fascinating. The point you made earlier, I just want to repeat it, which is the pharmaceutical industries have no incentive to cure problems. They have incentives to maintain problems so that you need to continually refill this prescription. So, you know, this is why we're in this kind of catch-22 situation. You know, I mean, the people living with animals, they see their animals suffering and they want to fix it right now. You know, they want something that's going to make that symptoms disappear, and yet they may be putting themselves into a situation where it's perpetuating instead of really truly helping or really solving. So while diet is not the whole issue of this, what are some of the components of diet that come into play when you're looking at allergies?
Well, doctors get allergic to latex gloves commonly, and they order latex-free gloves because we snap them on all the time. And we tend to feed dogs the same food all the time, particularly allergic dogs. So in the old days, when allergies weren't as deep-seated and weren't as prevalent as they are now, what would happen is we would take the veterinarian, not knowing why, because the vaccines contain chicken embryos and bovine serum. That's beef and chicken. And the adjuvant, which an adjuvant in a vaccine works on the immune system just as if you had someone in the military getting methamphetamines before they went into battle. So it really gens it up.
Yeah.
It starts to react against these foods. So they put a dog on lamb, and the dog would do okay on lamb. I remember when we were kids, they would just do that kind of thing. And then 9 months later, the dog would be itching again because now it had become allergic to lamb because it was eating it every day. And you tend to become allergic or reactive to things that you are fed all the time.
Yeah.
Just sideline this and say that food sensitivities and food intolerances are 15 times more common than food allergies.
Okay.
And they're delayed reactions. This gets even better. They occur from 7 to 28 days after you feed the food. So you
can
pick in on the first of the month and go to the bank on the 14th, and the lady, without asking you, slips your dog a little treat in the back seat, you know, through the window.
I can.
At night, your dog starts itching that night. You're angry at the lady, and it's actually the chicken that you fed 2 weeks before. So the thing is that it's really confusing because you don't understand what is really causing that problem. And meanwhile, you're changing foods, running from food to food. And the minute you land on a food and you think it's good, you feed it every day because you're so happy. Things are better, right? And what happens is eventually they're going to get reactive to it, either a food sensitivity, a food intolerance, or an allergy. Every single person, well, not every single person, but gee, a lot of people, because I see a lot of allergy cases on my consultations, feeds their dog fish oils when they're coming to me, or omega-3s, because they're hoping that the omega-3s will help. Well, today we'll talk about how fish oils have no omega-3s.
Yeah.
Zero.
Plus, by the time you get them, they're probably not bioavailable anyway, right? They're very short shelf life, right? Once they're open. Yeah.
The reason we buy them is because they're so friable, so fragile to air and light that they're not in any of our food. Mm-hmm. You know, the salmon may have it, but you cook it and they're gone. So that's why we buy them. But then they wash the fish oil in acetone and bleach. Think they survive that?
No.
I used to make vitamins, and I would go to trade shows, and there was a bunch of Norwegian guys with 5 gallons, metal tanks of omega-3s. And so I said to them, are there really omega-3s in there? And they laughed. They said, I knew. They said, yeah. Or I said, so what happens when that drop is suspended in the air for a fraction of a second before it enters the gel cap and the gel cap closes? They said, we're not responsible for that part.
Yeah.
You have to understand your supplements. There's a company called Resvantage. It's a very good company.
Uh-huh.
They make resveratrol products. Resveratrol is as friable or almost as fragile as omega-3s.
And
he told me he packaged it at a Pfizer facility. And I said, why do you package an herb at a Pfizer facility? He said, well, when Pfizer bought this company, they inherited this room. We pump it full of nitrogen. We then have everything packaged in the capsules, and they're oxygen resistant capsules. And then we put them in little, pockets that you have to pop the pill out of. And so everything is surrounded in nitrogen so that this resveratrol is actually active.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy something that's not from this company, Resvantage. And what happens is you wind up with a product that's been exposed to the air and there's nothing left in it.
Well,
yeah. Because some things like supplements like calcium, you can do anything to it.
Okay.
It's not going to be a problem, but certain things are so delicate and omega-3s are one of them. But to get back to my point, every dog that's on omega-3 fish oil every day is allergic to fish.
Yeah.
If they're taking it.
Yay. Yeah. No, I was one of those people who thought that fish oil was where you were supposed to get. I've been off it for a couple of years now, but it's, yeah, we've been sold a bill of goods by a lot of these products that look good on paper, you know, like they seem like they would be the things that we need to do, and in fact, they're not. What about those sardines? Sardines are those a healthy way of getting those omega-3s?
Why would they be?
Yeah.
They're processed, they're packaged. The minute that drop of oil is suspended for a fraction of a second, the omega-3s are gone. The best way to get omega-3s is chia seeds. You put a half a cup of chia seeds into a bowl, and then you add 2.5 cups of something, bone broth, chicken broth, something your dog would like. For people, you put almond milk in. You could put, yogurt, kefir, whatever, liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cook it and put it in the fridge. Now, because it's in a liquid, it doesn't hit the oxygen.
Doesn't in there.
So these little cells, these little grains soften, and they expand. And so they become a pudding. And then you give your dog a heaping teaspoon or tablespoon every day. And everything that's in that liquid is all precious and good because it hasn't been exposed to the air.
Okay.
It's so expensive.
Yeah, right. So the chia seeds that you have in the package, though, you shouldn't be giving them those, just the chia seeds by themselves. They get...
They don't digest it.
Right. Okay.
And if you grind them up in the blender, the minute you grind them up in the blender, you expose all the omega-3s to air again. And they're gone. Interesting, huh?
Wild stuff. Well, it was so much to learn. When we come back, I'd love to hear some stories about some of the animals that you've worked with and some of the problems that you were faced and how you found some solutions for them. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection, where I'm speaking with veterinarian Dr. David Kalsa. She's the author of Natural Dog and several other books, and we're talking about allergies today. And I know you get a lot of patients coming to you with allergy problems that have, you know, just haven't been able to find solutions. Walk us through a little bit about how you would begin to address, let's say, a dog coming in with a lot of scratching.
Well, first of all, I take the history, and I'd look at the toxins that the dog was exposed to. I'd look at the medical history and things like that. And then I would look if the dog had a secondary bacterial infection or it had anything on it, like that was this yeast called Malassezia, which is a dark yeast that causes a lot of itching too. And then I would, after I took the case, I would move along to actually curing it. Now, there are a lot of ways that people approach allergies. The pharmaceutical industrial complex does suppression. They suppress the immune system because you can't just fix it. Because if you just fix it, you don't have a bottom line as far as, you know, money in the company. The other is palliation. And that means you find some herb or something that will work well enough to keep the itching down. And you're constantly putting topical things on and doing all this stuff so that your dog isn't itching. And it becomes a lifelong quest. You know, it's a normal, habitual thing every single day to keep your dog in tow. And the other is avoidance. You go around, you try to avoid everything. You read labels, you try to change foods, you do all of this. And the amusing part is that a lot of people buy a lot of supplements, searching online, great reviews, all of this. Of course, the companies are professionally doing this. And then they're feeding their dog some sort of over-the-counter thing to stop the allergies. And the dog is allergic to it or becomes allergic to it because he's getting it every day. See what I mean? All right.
Yeah.
So the thing is that an allergy is a misprogrammed immune system. So how could you possibly fix it, you know, that you don't have to do avoidance, palliation, constant, you know, herbs and things, or suppression, which is the pharmaceutical drugs. And that is to tell the immune system that this enemy is actually a friend. You have to think about how absurd it is. Imagine 5 wolves downing a deer. And they run for 3 hours and they catch the deer and one looks at the other 4 and says, oh my God, I forgot. I'm allergic to venison. I've got to go. I'm going to get a rat. I'm going to find a rat. See you guys. Isn't this sound absurd? cows that are, you know, grazing in the field. And one says to the other, I can't believe Farmer Jones put us in this field. I am allergic to this grass, right?
Right.
But we accept it with our dogs and we run the hamster wheel constantly, trying our best to do. We love them so much. We build up huge veterinary bills. It's a whole thing. So how do you really fix it? Well, this lady, Devi Nambujapat, and I can't talk about her too much because she's in California and her son was an attorney, but what she developed was so unbelievably successful that Big Pharma in some degree, whatever, went after her.
Mm.
Fact that it was cutting down on their profits. And so they had to do it a very specific way. And I did it in my way for dogs. I wasn't going to do it her way for people. It wasn't going to work. It was years later, 30 years later. So I said to her son, I'm just going to trademark it and do it this way. But she was the one who figured it out. And it was literally by, you know, like, remember, well, it was just literally by default. She was eating a carrot. She was an acupuncturist, a naturopath, a homeopath, everything. She was passing out from an allergy to it. She hit some acupuncture points and she woke up feeling euphoric and was no longer allergic to the carrot. And she began to do this whole thing and set up a whole process. So let's look at what really happens, because we have to really, medicine is moving into the realm of physics. And so we have to think that way. So DNA, 93% of what it does is to transmit and receive frequencies. It's a little antenna. That's mm-hmm. what it is. And that information gives you or your pet better survival chances. That's what the point is. So how does a homeopathic remedy work? A homeopathic remedy has an energetic resonance. And after the sixth dilution of 6C, there's no molecule of the substance left in it, according mm-hmm. to Gaggio's number. There's nothing left. So how does it work? How does a baby who has 104 fever, who suddenly gets the correct remedy, have his fever go down in 10 minutes, becomes totally normal, runs around, it never happens again? Kids, mm-hmm. okay. It's because that homeopathic remedy has a resonance. It has a vibrational frequency and the DNA picks it up. It's sort of like you have a big problem with your son, let's say, and you don't know what to do. And you talk to 20 girlfriends, they all give you advice, but the 20th one gives you the exact correct advice. And you go, oh, I'll try that. You try and the problem's over. That's what correct homeopathic remedy does. Now,
yes.
In the beginning, I used homeopathy mostly for allergies. I'm versed in 12 different modalities, at least, prolotherapy, Chinese herbology, you know, on and on and on. And homeopathy worked beautifully. I actually lectured at my alma mater, the University of Pennsylvania, on it. And it was great. And I had beginner poker luck when I started it, when I got out of school. Because I went to medical school. I refused because I wanted to be a vet. I waited a year to be a vet. And I worked in the medical and veterinary school. And I studied homeopathy, you know, on certain nights a week, because Philadelphia is a big homeopathic town.
Oh.
When I got out of school, I knew homeopathy. And the reason I did it was I figured if I didn't get into vet school and I had to be a doctor, I'd be a holistic doctor. Mm-hmm. And so I was really studying with the medical people. But then I began to transfer it into the animal kingdom. And then I studied all over the world, homeopathy. I studied in India with Dr. McLeod and George Day. I studied in Brazil. I studied in India, all mm-hmm. over. And I became awfully good. And so it was very easy. But as we have generations and generations of suppressive therapies going on with our dogs, what happens is homeopathy wasn't working so well. It was sort of like poured a cup of bleach into a dirty pond. It looked nice and clean there. And you said, ooh. And then it just came back. The dirt came back. Where before you poured that same cup of bleach and the whole pond cleared out.
Mm.
So I learned this something called an AAT, which was phenomenal. And what happened was I began using it and it was an absolute miracle. You basically take the allergic person or the allergic pet and you turn them into the not allergic pet. You're just not allergic to it. It's amazing. But what you're doing is you're working on energetic frequencies. You're talking to the DNA, which is really the computer system. It's really what runs the whole thing. Think of it as an antenna. Think of it as, you know, following what And you're correcting the whole program. And it's so beautiful and it's so easy. You know, I had someone yesterday who called me, her year and a half old dog was, she was from Florida, had rashes and itching, and she wanted to do the allergy elimination for pets. But she had contacted me before that in 2018 or 17 for her other dog who had allergies. She contacted me when that dog was about 3. Mm-hmm. And she had contacted me almost a decade before that for a dog who no longer was with us, who had terrible allergies, and she had spent years going to the vet, trying everything, putting him on everything. I mean, the whole history, these histories are so sad. People care so much.
Yeah.
You know, I treated the dog, and the dog, everything cleared up on the dog, and it lived to a ripe old life without a ripe old age without any allergies. So second dog, she came when he was three.
Because yes.
And he was like two in the first dog. And the third dog, it was like, we're going there.
Because
it is just the place to go to because it works so well.
Yeah.
You know, allergies, basically, when you look at the common denominator, are a misbehaving immune system. Everything in the in your body is run by your DNA. And the new ways of healing in medicine are now becoming working with light, voltage, lots of different things that we never thought would be so healing. And the advances in these fields are beyond belief.
That's so exciting. Well, just on a more practical level, I hear you saying that we should be rotating the proteins that we're giving the animals, not giving them the same protein every day. Is that correct? Is that one of
That's a better way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what are some of the other suggestions that people can do? I know you do consultations. People can get in touch with you. But what can they do right now? What are some of the things that they should stop doing or they can begin doing if they're dealing with some of these issues?
Well, allergies, when you see a case for allergies, the dog could have Malassezia, which is a smelly yeast. It causes a dark substance in the ear. And people think it's dark wax, and it's not. It's a yeast called Malassezia. And it loves oil. It loves fat. It's not candida. It doesn't love carbs. So a lot of people put their dogs on a no-carb diet because somebody cut and paste, some veterinarian cut and pasted candida into Malassezia. But they're completely different yeasts. One is white. One is black. One likes carbs. One hates carbs, likes oil. So you have to make sure that there's not stuff on your dog's skin that's increasing the itching. A lot of times we have these very nice enzymatic shampoos that can work well to remove yeast from your dog's skin. You have to make sure that the ears are clear and free of infection because a dog's ear is very deep. And people think when it comes up the drain and comes so far up that your flashlight can see that stuff in the drain, that's when they have the ear infection. It's actually down by the U of the drain. And so they go to the vet, he gives him some ointment, squirts it in the ear for 2 weeks. You look in the ear and you go, wow, that ear is pink and healthy and nice. But the fact is a dog's ear that looks like this. This is where you can see down to your thumb of the base of your thumbnail. That's where you can see the ear. His ear goes all the way down here and all the way across there. And so you think it's good and you're happy. And 2 months later, you're back at the vet saying the ear infection came back. It actually didn't come back. It never went away.
Mm.
It was down there in the bottom of the drain, and it took some time for it to just grow back up. You just got the top of it. So you really have to handle things completely. Now, you can put your animal on a novel protein, but I have found that most dogs and cats are not allergic to one thing. They're not allergic to just beef or just chicken. Their allergies have expanded and developed over time. So, you know, they could be allergic to B vitamins, which are in everything, because there's brewer's yeast in those, you know, in the vaccines. And they can be allergic to, you know, fish if they're getting fish oil all the time. They can be allergic to the supplements that they're giving on the counter to fix the allergies. So the basic thing is to keep the diet as simple as possible and keep them on a novel protein. Now, there's a company called Rayne Nutrition, R-A-Y-N-E, Nutrition. And you need a script to get these foods. But they'll have rabbit and they'll have crocodile. I don't know how I could buy that. And they'll have kangaroo. I don't know how I could buy that. But the thing is, those are novel proteins for dogs that are having problems. There are many different tests online that people can take. And the vast majority, except for one, which only tests for food sensitivities and intolerance and does not test for food allergies. And that's a veterinarian who does that test. But he's testing IgM and IgA. But they're completely inadequate. So thinking that you can take one of these tests and change the foods, it's actually so bogus. People have always done them. It's very common. And they're so convinced now that they look at this piece of paper that their dog is reacting to these things that it's embedded in their mind. So I have to tell them, you need to photocopy that test that you got, and then you need to stand in front of the toilet with the scissors, and I want you to cut it up into really little pieces and put it in there and flush it. Okay. Doesn't convince you that nothing on that test is real. I mean, maybe a few things are, but you wouldn't know which ones. Then yeah. You take the $85 in singles that you paid for it. I want you to get the scissors and cut that up and flush it. So a lot of people are getting these tests and going by them as if they were serious tests, and they're absolutely not. I mean, the dog is allergic to trout, but it's not allergic to cod. It's allergic to haddock. But it's, you follow what I'm saying? But it's,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's ludicrous. It's allergic to these unbelievably straight, a kiwi fruit, you know, mm-hmm. Is it, follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at it. And the hamster wheel is so much more than what you think about in the beginning when we talk about it. It's not only all the supplements on the counter, and some of them your dog is going to be having reactions to. It's not only these lists of things that you're purchasing and avoiding. It's not only reading all the dog food labels and then searching the web for something that has great reviews. It's actually, you know, so if you have wool in your house, wool is a big allergen for dogs. Wool is a big allergen. That's a good tip. It's really big. If you have wool and you have a dog that's itching a lot, itching, and it causes a terrible reaction. Their whole body looks terrible.
Mm.
It's the wool. I have people that call me from Norway. They have sheepskins all over. New Zealand, they have sheepskins all over. You know, these different places, and the dogs really loves sleeping on those sheepskins.
Scratches.
And wool's a big allergen. So they're never just allergic to one food. And they're never just allergic to one environmental substance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think of it like an iceberg in the ocean. This iceberg is in the ocean, and it's under the surface, so you can't see, you know? Mm-hmm. But on the bottom of it are all the foods that dog or cat is reactive to. And on the top are all the environmental things the dog is reactive to. And so when they pile up enough and you get to that straw that broke the camel's back, it
comes
through the surface of the ocean. That's when the scratching starts, and that's when everything kicks in.
Yeah.
The dog is never just allergic to a flea.
Okay.
He's allergic
good.
To a whole bunch of things underneath. And it's when you, there are people who say, I know my dog only has environmental allergies because he only itches in the spring and fall. And the fact is that it's only because the spring and the fall pollens and molds or whatever push that above the threshold, right?
Right, right.
That's when the itching starts. But
yes.
A low-level allergy going on, and that causes a chronic inflammation in the body, and it actually imbalances the entire immune system.
Right. Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. We're going to have you on again because I know we're just scratching the surface here, to use a terrible pun. But Dr. Deva Khalsa, author of The Natural Dog and several other books, how can people find you if they'd want to get in touch?
Well, my site is drdeva.com, drdeva.com. That's number one. Number two, I have all kinds of free videos, all kinds of articles, and all kinds of information. I'm making a slew more of videos specifically on allergies because I really feel that it's become such a problem and that people really need to learn the logistics of it so they can have a break in life and have a healthy dog.
Great. Well, thank you so much for the great work that you're doing, and thank you for being a guest on the Human Animal Connection. We'll be talking to you again very soon.
My pleasure. It was wonderful being here with you.
We'll say bye for now, and we'll see you at the next episode. I'm Jeannie Joseph, the host of the Human Animal Connection. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon, and your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.